That's the one.
Pressure making button.
There we go. It's moving now.
Yeah. It is. It's definitely recording. It's definitely because we don't want to do this for an hour and then find out it didn't record.
Yeah, exactly.
It's flashing.
7, 8, 9.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Are you going to put this on the beginning of the next podcast?
Ah, you know I don't like editing the beginnings.
I know you don't, but
you're taking over anyway, aren't you? I did put it. I put it on the beginning, didn't I?
I know. Yes, that was pretty cool. How old was that podcast we did last week?
Quite old. It was so old we thought that we'd actually put that out before.
Yes.
Hello and welcome to One Man and His TARDIS.
Hello.
Hello.
We have a very full lounge. We've got 6 of us today. So, hello, I'm Chris.
Hello, I'm Gemma.
I'm Ian.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Steve.
And we also have a baby here. So this is the first time we are podcasting with a baby.
This is Dorothy. She doesn't talk much.
It's probably not going to go well.
No. So hang on a minute, Chris. How come we're in a lounge? We were in an attic before.
Yes, well, there are reasons and things, and we've just changed locations.
Yes.
We're now podcasting from a lounge.
Yes.
Anyway, today is Monday the 3rd of June.
It is.
And on Saturday, we had...
Oh my God.
...some big news.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Deirdre's leaving Coronation Street.
Who?
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't know about that. We should talk about that for an hour.
Yeah.
Can we get an hour out of that?
I don't know.
Do you know what has just happened?
What has just happened?
I'm going to have to change a nappy.
You're going to have to do a live nappy change.
Awesome.
Pause. Wow.
No, just keep going. This is going to be the interesting
podcast. She does look very kind of
I'm frightened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something down there.
Yeah. It's right. Carry on.
You can't tell by looking at it, can you?
Should we start this one over again?
No, it's fun.
Really?
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I haven't even introduced who Steve and Mark are yet.
Well, go for it.
Okay, let's go back a bit then. So, we've been joined by Steve and Mark.
Wow.
Would you guys like to introduce yourselves? Because, Mark, you've been on the podcast before.
I have, yes, and so I shall leave the introductions up to Steve, firstly.
I'm Steve Green. I'm a member of Plymouth Who, or formerly member of Plymouth Who, and also member of Plymouth Who Productions, who we produce our own Doctor Who videos and audios.
Is that a slight plug for you, is it, Steve?
Why else do you think I'm here?
They're very good. You should watch them.
Yes, and if you want to know what Steve and Mark look like, watch the first Plymouth Who production episode,
yes.
Which is... Go on, plug.
The other side.
There we go.
Well, if they want to know what we all look like, watch The Other Side.
We're all kind of in there. I've got a cameo.
I'm not.
If you want to know what... Watch The Incursion Confidential.
Yes.
Watch The Incursion Confidential to see what Ian looks like.
Yes.
Okay, so we've been rambling for about 5 minutes now.
Which is fun.
And we were just saying that we've had big news.
Big news.
Matt Smith has decided to finish Doctor Who during the Christmas special. So we're going to do an initial thoughts, opinions. We've got some feedback from some of the other people on the Facebook page. And we're just going to talk about that for an hour.
Yay!
So...
We need a timer.
I'm doing the time already.
Oh,
it's all,
the
it's
time.
All done.
All right.
3:20 in.
Don't worry. Ball tonight, honestly.
Yeah. No, I'm not really. I should have planned this a bit better, really. Okay, let's go for initial reactions. Okay, as the guests, Steve, do you want to start off with your initial reaction?
Doesn't come as a surprise. There had been rumours for quite some time that he was going to go. Also, the fact that he's done 3 years. 3 years seems to be about the right sort of level. Possibly 3 to 4 years. That's what David Tennant did. Not surprised.
Yeah, I expected it to, for the obvious reason, he shaved his head. And if you're the leading man in a highly marketed and PR image-based show like Doctor Who, you don't exactly change your image just like that and expect nothing to come of it.
Has he filmed the Christmas special yet, though?
No, we'll get to that in a minute, but I reckon probably he's filmed his bit already. I think it's time for him to go, if I'm honest, as well.
Ian?
I'm calling shenanigans on this one.
You don't think it's going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to have egg on my old face when it comes to Christmas. But I don't really trust Mr. Moffat. In the best possible way, I'm thinking that it might be a little bit of a kind of like, oh, Matt Smith's leaving for the 50th, or something along those lines, and no, he isn't. So maybe it hasn't just quite sunk in yet, but I'm calling shenanigans on this one. Early on, I think they might do a bit of a rug pull, then kind of go, oh, he's leaving, oh, he's not, kind of thing, and then maybe do a couple more years. But no. I'm probably completely wrong, because I usually am.
Personally, I think it's definitely going to happen. The big question is he going to be in the Christmas special? And if he is, how much of the Christmas special? Mm-hmm. Because if they've already said he's leaving, they've never done this before. They've never given a finishing date. I mean, was Tennant... Tennant was a surprise as well, wasn't it, I think?
No,
it was announced. He was the National Television Awards during the gap year, so early 2009, before they'd actually filmed anything. Before they started filming Planet of the Dead, he won an award and he announced from the Hamlet Theatre that this would be his last year in Doctor Who.
Ah.
And then Matt actually was announced as the Doctor.
Way in advance.
Yeah.
That was actually 2009 as well, because that. Yeah. So no, David Tennant announced he was leaving 2008. Then, so Matt Smith was announced 2009. So technically, yeah. Matt's been the Doctor. If Matt was cast in 2008, that means he's officially been the title of the Doctor for 5 years now.
Oh. Right. Okay. Well, the point was getting towards was. Is it going to take something away from the Christmas special if we know that he's going to regenerate during it?
This is what I wanted to say, actually. I wish they'd stop bloody announcing these things. Why do they have to do a press release to say when one of them's leaving? Because I like to be fucking surprised.
But there's no way they would do a surprise regeneration. The publicity is always rumoured. Like they said, they always wanted Chris Eccleston's regeneration to be a surprise. The David Tennant's regeneration was meant to be a surprise. No, it's PR. You're not going to... The only surprise regeneration was at the end of Journey's End. Was it Journey's End?
Yes.
The Dalek one. Yeah. So yes. Beyond that one. And that was a fake cop-out. That was the only reason why I didn't promote it, because it was a fake cop-out and nothing was going to actually happen. That's why it will never be a surprise, because it's too much of a PR, we can get the viewers in gimmick.
No, I think it would be better to do it as a surprise one day. It's the kind of thing Moffat would do. To be honest, that's why I'm kind of like calling a bit of shenanigans on it, because I think he's trying to pull the wool over our eyes a bit.
Given the fact that you've had the tabloids for the last few months doing stories about he's leaving, you actually had the shenanigans was Matt Smith announcing he wasn't signed on for another year.
Yeah, I do remember that statement coming out.
And then the BBC said, oh no, actually we haven't actually said we're doing another series of Doctor Who yet.
Ah.
And then suddenly it all came back and...
It's
alright. Mike is going. I'll start that again. Suddenly it all was, oh, Matt Smith is now going. So, I mean, there are all sorts of rumours coming out of Cardiff at the moment saying, are they actually getting on with each other, i.e. the Moffat and Matt Smith? And there's been alleged affairs with other between producers and... Am I reading too much into this?
No.
This is the one that you were talking about before, which I meant to PM you about. But
Okay, I would just like to point out that if you do plan to sue us individually. So Steve was the man who just said that, and Mark is the one about to speak.
Yes. No, the rumour is that Stephen Moffat
allegedly
Stephen Moffat and Carol Skinner...
It's not a get-out-of-free-jail clause. It's not. Just saying that at the beginning doesn't count.
Ian, what's his face from Private Eye?
It works for everybody. I've got news for you. Allegedly.
Anyway, David Cameron told me that Stephen Moffat and Carolyn Skinner was having an affair. So blame David Cameron.
Whoa, okay.
there was
quite a scathing blog from someone who is a fan who works on the series about behind the scenes goings on where allegedly people were not getting on, that producers and directors and actors seemed to having regular words in corridors.
And this includes Moffat allegedly turning to Carol Skinner at a party and saying... You're raised from Doctor Who.
God, I see.
Gosh, right.
Yes. This is a nice, fun, friendly podcast, isn't it?
Okay, before we carry on with the Matt Smith, let's stick with that one, shall we?
Yeah.
How do people think that this is going to be Moffat's last year, then? Or do you think the Grand Moff is going to stay on?
I hope so. I think, whereas I like the idea of Stephen Moffat taking over as the showrunner, I don't think he's performed as well as Russell T Davies.
Really?
Really? No.
Really?
I'm back, by the way. Hello.
Can you hold that for me?
Shall I elaborate?
Yes, please
do. Yes. I've always felt that Russell T Davies's era was a lot more polished together and have had a conclusion to it. Whereas, and there may be some big scheme with Moffat, and he may actually conclude all the loose ends and tie them all up in the next two episodes, but I doubt that he's going to.
There is a big feeling coming from the last three seasons, am I right in saying
three?
That it's kind of been very J.J. Abrahams more than very structured. Does that make sense to people?
Well, yeah.
It's continuously going and running. You don't have a beginning, a middle and an end to a season. It's just kind of like, these things are happening in this universe.
The problem with that is because it's been split up.
There are just so many things which have never been answered.
The exploding TARDIS.
You've actually got the fact that Silence Must Fall, which is at the end of Matt Smith's first season, and you go, what the hell does that mean? And the fact that the silence did turn up, but you've then now got the whole thing, the fact that Fall of the 11th at the Battle of Trenzalore, which they've been to Trenzalore after the battle, so does this mean at the Christmas special or during the 50th anniversary they've got to go back to Trenzalore, because that's allegedly where Matt Smith's 11th incarnation is going to die. If you look at what's...
Well, the Doctor is supposed to die anyway.
Matt Smith's incarnation of
that. Oh, really? Because I thought it was the
Doctor. No, because
general.
The Fall of the 11th is on the fields of Trenzalore.
But this then brings up, is he still the 11th?
Yeah, exactly.
He's the 11th Doctor.
That's what I was saying.
Oh,
It's all been messed up. Fandom has been completely thrown into disarray. I think this could be a whole new subject
Can we have a couple of seconds silence for all the Paul McGann fan videos on YouTube that have him in the Time War that could be totally fan wanked out of existence?
I think this is another podcast for another time getting into this one.
Of course. He's actually an old version of the Paul McGann.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Yeah,
but then just use Paul McGann because he's a lot older than he was when he'd filmed it.
Yeah.
True.
Right, okay. Let's bring this back to Smith. So let's start with, what are we going to miss most from the Smith era?
I'd just like to point out that, I wasn't asked my initial opinions.
Oh, what's your initial opinion? Sorry, you were changing your nappy.
I know.
I'm a
nappy changer and milk beast now, and so I don't have opinions
big
anymore.
Big milk thing.
I get forgotten about now.
What's your initials?
I'm surprised I was forgotten about, considering the mess I made of that nappy change. But anyway, my initial thoughts, I didn't really have any. I wasn't surprised at all. Ooh. And I was kind of pleased in a way, because I really like Matt Smith still. And David Tennant didn't have that luxury come the end of it. I was like, please go. Please leave now. Whereas with Matt Smith, I'm like, I still like you. I'm happy for you to go. I'm not pissed off with you yet.
I think now's the right time for him to go, because the caricatureness that enslaved David Tennant towards the end is sort of starting to rear its head with Matt Smith. In the fact that
it could do,
he
yeah.
start my main example is with Hyde when he first comes in and he's doing that. Oh, I like the blinky lights. Oh, I like the thing like that. And the other actors are like just standing there, not really acting the way you would if someone sort of comes to it. The mannerisms and quirks of Matt Smith's Doctor are being sort of like ignored to help the plot of the other characters. Characters are liking him too much. He should be an annoying little clown like Patrick Troughton was, who gets on the nerves of everyone around, but then uses that to his advantage later on. But everyone is just so accepting of the clownness and the childness that it's sort of not making a problem. Like the submarine thing. He would have been shot.
But from a pure story point of view, the fact that you can't, in a 45-minute episode, you can't have 15 minutes of the supporting characters immediately getting to know and trusting.
You could in six-parters, though. In six-parters.
But in 45 minutes, you've actually got to hit the ground running. The fact that
exactly. The
minute the person turns up, they've got to go, oh, you know what's going on. We accept you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to be at loggerheads and the story's not going to go anywhere.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
But I just find it's a danger of the plot sort of twisting to fit the character instead of the character fitting the plot, or the characterization fitting the plot that's happening. But like I said, I don't hate him. I think now's just a good time to go. He's not great. And like I said, the trouble with Tennant was he became a caricature towards the end. We're not, brilliant. And just.
I still like that. I really do.
Though. But then that was the fun Doctor.
That was the fun. Exactly.
Wasn't really when what the Doctor the was come the end.
Kind of like, Rose has left, I'm so broken hearted kind of thing. Then it was a bit,
I like Matt Smith. I think he's pretty damn awesome.
I don't think we've had enough of him yet.
I like
really.
his little bandy legs, to be honest.
I mean, the amount of reviews that I've read recently, especially in the last series, that have been kind of like, Matt Smith is the Doctor. Matt Smith is the Doctor. He's very comfortable in the role now. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's always a pleasure to see him on screen. Obviously,
it really is, yeah.
As much of a turd Rings Arachnomorphon, whatever it's called again, was that Matt Smith speech at the end of the episode when he's talking to the giant pumpkin. the killer giant pumpkin, evil pumpkin planet. Just saves the episode, I think, in a bit. At least makes
he
you
really
feel like,
is brilliant. Yeah. I don't think there's any way he's ever delivered anything or done anything that I've actually thought,
he's
that
good
was
at
weird.
The speeches.
I just everything. I just love him. Yeah. I just love him. I want to squish him.
Yeah. Can I ask a question of people? When did Matt Smith become the Doctor for everybody? When did the
first
the
10 minutes
moment?
Yeah,
I was where you
say, oh no, no,
the
it's not.
Hour.
No, I think the moment was the speech to the alien ship.
Yeah.
At the end.
At the end. That was, I think the fish fingers and custard was very much, that's his Doctor. Yeah. But when he came up with he's putting the clothes on and then he walks through the images of the different Doctors and he's got the bow tie on and everything like that. I think that was the moment where he kind of became the Doctor for me.
I have to say, my personal experience, remember first watching The 11th Hour, the moment, I remember it distinctly when I said, this guy's going to do a good job as the Doctor, is when he gets the glass to listen at the wall, and it's got water in it, and he throws the water out and kind of looks where the water's gone. It's a weird thing to explain without...
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh my God, I know what you mean. It's not like he just threw because that's what he had to do in the script.
Yeah.
He throws it and then goes, oh shit, I've
yeah,
just
exactly.
thrown some
it's
water.
Kind of like looks
everything
at the glass
he
if he
does,
doesn't know what it is, and then
goes,
oh, water, don't need that. And then goes up to the
everything
wall.
Everything he does
that
is really, really natural.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I think it was at that point that was kind of like, this guy's going to be good. Because he's suitably kind of like, I don't want to use the word wacky because it's fucking ridiculous. But you know what I mean? Eccentric and
he's
slightly
just
alien,
brilliant.
You know?
Everything he does just fits exactly into what should be happening.
Yeah.
Every movement he makes, he's really kind of physical, but in a not overly, not in like a Jim Carrey way, obviously. But yeah,
it's
I just
time.
love him. I will be very sad to see him go, but I'm also glad that if he... Oh.
Sorry, that was my sewing kit.
Ian's
I'm actually sewing while
sewing
I'm doing this. This is quite fun.
This is how dedicated he is to the podcast.
This is how dedicated I am. Yes, exactly.
He brings haberdashery with him.
I know. we're all not Morris dancers. The main three of us are Morris dancers.
I'm not a Morris dancer, point that out. I have no coordination to do such things.
I think my granddad used to drive a Darius Monster.
So what was the point for you then, Steve?
It actually came a lot later. I actually didn't take to Matt Smith at all at first.
Oh. But you're a misery, so we...
I'm not a misery. I'm a lot older than all of you. I remember much more of the Doctor. First time. I mean, David Tennant hit the ground running for me. But Matt Smith, it took...
Christmas Invasion?
Yeah. The minute he opened those TARDIS doors and stood there in his pyjamas and said, what sort of guy am I? And I went, that's it.
Yeah, alright, yeah, I'll give you that.
He totally...
Yeah, the blood. But the thing is, that Doctor didn't survive.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
But then Matt Smith, it probably wasn't until he and Riversong were actually in the landing craft and Amy was the angel on the screen. That was when he started. And the banter between the Doctor and Amy about... Oh, you're Mr. Grumpy Chops today.
Mr. Grumpy
that,
Chops, yeah.
That was actually starting to... Because he then wasn't quite listening to what Amy was saying and was answering the questions out of turn. And I thought that was quite clever.
Mm.
Mark?
I'm trying to think now.
I can't remember. Let's move on then.
The Time of Angels speech where he's pointing the gun. You never put in a trap, me.
Oh, with the Graham Norton.
Yeah, Graham Norton.
Mark II.
Mark II, yes.
What Graham Norton incident, Mark II?
You are, oh, we've done a whole podcast on this.
I know the first one in the first episode, which is in Rome.
Yeah, and then during the bit where he's standing there with a gun, giving that epic speech about you don't put baby into a corner.
No one puts Doctor in the corner.
A little cartoon Graham Norton comes across the screen and ruins. But you were probably watching it on HD anyway.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have happened on that.
I knew it had happened. It didn't happen. I don't think it happened on HD.
No. They prized HD too much. Right. Okay. So let's go with what are we going to miss from the Smith era? Go on then.
Not the sonic screwdriver. We'll do that in a minute. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll come to that one in a minute. What I'm going to miss is the hair. I don't know. It's just, I'm just going to say the hair. It was just so nice that first season to have a messy mop. Before he discovered the gel, the continuity saver, as the production called it in series 6, series 5, where you just let it be messy and it flopped around all over the place. And it was just nice to see messiness on the lead actor instead of just neat and tidy.
Well, I think he was just messy. Physically, the way his body moved and everything like that, he was just a kind of gangly, cuddly thing.
The way he moves around, you would never think he would be coordinated enough to play football.
Well, he was the Andrex dog
but
at first.
To be that uncoordinated, you've got to be fairly coordinated.
Yeah.
So. No, I used to think of him as the Andrex dog doctor, with the hair coming across over the eyes.
That's the Dulux dog, isn't it?
Is it Dulux?
Yes.
What's Andrex?
Andrex is a little puppy.
There's a little puppy. Oh,
puppy. Golden retriever.
So there was a. I got something sort of right with that. I wasn't thinking of something.
There was
crazy.
A dog involved.
There was a dog
involved.
So, it's Sanity's.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
No, didn't it?
Oh, no, yeah. No.
Wandered in and sat down.
Not the best analogy, but.
Where's this going?
It's not going anywhere.
No. Jerry Dodger. Yeah,
good
Jerry
point.
Jerry Dodger. That's a good one. Is it?
I suppose so.
I'm just showing out random words as far as you know.
Bow ties / feathers /
things being cool.
Things being cool. Essentially, yes.
Yeah. Steve?
I'm going to miss his sort of the old man in a young body, because he plays that incredibly well. Especially the emotion scenes where he's got these really dark little eyes that sort of sink, and he sort of at times really sort of looks ancient and sad.
I think that was the initial selling point of having Matt Smith, was he was an old man in a young man's body.
Yeah.
Unlike what we've had before, where it's been a young man like Pertwee in an old man's body, even though Pertwee wasn't that old, he just kind of played
his
body.
Even with Tennant, though, as well, he never really managed to pull that off.
No.
I have to say, the old man in a young man's body kind of
there
thing.
Were moments showing...
Oh,
there were moments.
Did.
The speech to Anthony Head by the pool sort of...
Yeah,
played with Tennant, but they did sort of like shy away from it as the series went on, and just saying he's a dashing, leading, handsome man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but when you look, I mean, one of the best stories that he appeared in was probably The Waters of Mars.
I was going to say, please don't say World War III.
No, Waters of Mars was absolutely amazing. And I had hoped that the end of time was going to go that way. And then the end of time, you think, what the buggery bollocks is all this about?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was going to say no, Ian Freeman then, because he wasn't in World War III. That was Chris Eccleston.
No, that's true. That's
Chris
Eccleston.
Sorry.
Right,
sorry. The continuity
but
monster.
World War III, they were still trying to find their way with the series.
Yeah, that's a good excuse for it.
It took virtually to the end of the first series to actually
kids.
Find its feet. Because they didn't know where they were pitching it. That's where there's no blood.
No, to me, David Tennant's best performance was in Human Nature.
Family Blood.
That's his best performance for me. But going back to the person we're supposed to be talking about.
Surely not. We don't go off on tangents here.
It's funny, the best Matt Smith moment for me is the one where he doesn't really do much. It's at the end of Pandora, The Big Bang, mm-hmm. where he's sat in the chair and he's just talking to Amy. Mm-hmm. And then he just shoots off into the sky and River reads her... the pad and just says Geronimo, and then the music flares up. That's what I'm going to miss about Matt Smith.
Yeah.
The 11th Doctor's theme.
Yeah, okay,
that's it, because that is a bum 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 bum. That's the closest he's ever got to a Jurassic Park style.
I am so glad as well they didn't run Geronimo into the ground.
No, glad. Yeah,
Ronzi.
Yes.
Hang on, the 11th Doctor's theme. Which sounds exactly the same as every other theme.
No, it doesn't.
No,
no, not the theme music.
When you just did it then, it sounded exactly the same as the running music that has always
been. Yeah, I think it's probably been used before and it's been re-engineered as as Matt Smith's theme.
Yeah. On the CD album, it's called The Doctor.
So what are you going to miss, Gemma?
Everything. I loved him. I loved him with a very big love.
She knew him so well. It took time to understand.
Literally, there's nothing that annoys me about him. I'll miss not being annoyed in any way by the way an actor plays a character. Because that never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be quite good.
Are you talking about the way he plays the character or the way the character's written?
See what you did.
Probably both.
Okay.
No. Sometimes.
I think when you talk about the Smith era, we're going to include Moffat into this anyway. Moffat writing for 11, because he's going to, even if he stays on.
Yeah.
He's going to have to write for someone new, so it's going to be a new Doctor, so it's going to be a new character.
Well, this is nothing he's written for every single Doctor so far, really, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, and he probably will, I would hope, stay on and write some specials after he leaves, because his one-offs have always been a lot better than anything he's written as showrunner.
Yeah.
Okay, right. On the Facebook page, we also asked the listeners to get involved in this, and we have in essence, if not in body... Alison Trace, who's been on the podcast before, back when Mark came on. And she's written in to the same question, is things being cool, bow ties, fezzes, etc.
Yeah.
Which is very much agreed from me anyway. And we have executive show producer Jeff. Hey! I've given him the title now. I think he deserves it. He's mentioned more than any actor ever has been. And he just says, Matt Smith, the whole performance.
Yes, I agree with you, Jeff.
Yes. Matt Smith, the whole performance, yes.
That's what I'll miss.
I know that, yeah, exactly.
No, well, you have.
We've got one hand up over the other side.
It is a novelty for me to actually watch someone play the same character for so long and not be...
It still doesn't feel like a long time, though.
No,
well, the thing is, he had the weird break as well, because he, over 2 years was 1 year, wasn't it? Really, because we've had the end, this year we've had the second half of one season, and last year we had the first half.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been split over. He might have been the Doctor for 5 years, but he's only really done...
Five?
Yeah.
Four, I mean, no, what's he done?
2010,
4 years?
Wasn't it?
If he does the Christmas special, and he's only done four episodes less than Tennant.
Really?
Yeah.
Less?
Four episodes less, yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot.
I really thought Matt Smith was going to be with us for a lot longer, I have to say, because it was quite nice. Whenever he was doing interviews and everything else, and everyone was kind of... It was always a question that would come up, and he would always answer forever. And, you know, I'll be doing it when I'm in a wheelchair, blah, 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 and everything else. So that always made me feel a little bit warm and fuzzy, because it's kind of like, this guy knows what, you know, he loves the job, he's got no plans of going anywhere. And then he comes and breaks our hearts. What a bastard.
That's not his fault.
Well, you don't think he's going
No, I don't think it's... That's why I don't believe it, because it's kind of like somebody saying they're going to leave you and then, like, not...
You're in denial.
Well, you've got
the rest of the stages to go through,
I'm completely in denial at the moment, yes. When I actually see him regenerating the Christmas special, I might believe it. But I think it's a bit too much of a coincidence with the 50th coming up.
Are you sure he's going to regenerate in the 50th? In the Christmas?
Well, I don't know. I think it's going to happen in the 50th. I think it might happen. Yeah.
They've only got two Doctors. Why, if they know he's going to leave this year, do they not cast the next Doctor during... You don't have to regenerate Smith during this one. Just cast the next Doctor. And then we can all go... Oh, there's another... We don't know this Doctor. What's he going to be like? And we've already introduced to him before he does his regeneration episode. Mm. He's in a multi-Doctor story, which, by all accounts, has always been rubbish. Anyway, I'm just rambling now, and Steve's distracted me. I had this idea a long, long time ago. I wanted to do a flip-flop story with Doctor Regenerations, where you get a new Doctor at the beginning, and then the old Doctor dies and regenerates, and the new body is sent back to the beginning of the story. That's what I've always wanted to do.
Well, I'll talk to you after we finish the podcast.
I'm gonna put my money on the table and say the title of the Christmas special will be Twelfth Night.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'll go with that.
No, I would go to the bookies with that. Right. Yeah. That's tomorrow, yes, exactly. We're going into town anyway. I'm going into the bookies and going to get odds on that.
Okay.
I'm going to put...
Let me know.
I'm going to put a fiver down.
We'll go with tenner each.
I've got my name as well, please.
Tenner each.
Right, okay, let's move on.
When are you releasing this podcast, dude? You're releasing it
tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, so
I can put the money on before it gets...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Don't worry.
By the time you listen to this, big people, we've already got dibs on it.
So. And I'll put the odds on the website as well. See what we tell you what we got. Right. Okay. So the next question that I put out there was, what were Smith's best and worst moments? Now I think this is going to be pretty kind of general. So Jeff and Ali both agreed that the Pandorica/Stonehenge speech is up there in the best moments.
Yes.
I want to add an amendment to that. And just say that speech, which then gave us Sylvester McCoy doing that speech, because that is even more awesome.
Every single time.
That's brilliant.
Fan boner.
That piece of dialogue is actually just, is it because it's the Doctor? That is the embodiment of the Doctor.
Yeah.
You can imagine any incarnation actually doing that.
Certainly, definitely.
True. I am surprised we haven't had a lot more fans go up to the Doctors and go, can you do the Pandorica speech for me? Why haven't we had Peter Davison doing this or Tom Baker doing it?
No, sadly, the next one they did after that was Paul McGann doing the William Hartnell Unearthing Child speech. So, it wasn't exactly we're going to get every Doctor just one thing. They just started giving other Doctors random. So Paul McGann did We're Not of This Race, We're Not of This Earth, We're Wanderers in the Fourth Dimensions of Space and Time.
Well, actually, that could be quite nice, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to look for that later. Right, okay. Also, Ali has added to that whenever the Doctor's playing his age. So I think we've covered that already, really. Mm. So let's carry on with the best moments. What are people's best moments from Smith? What moments stick out?
Can I just do a slight counter to that Pandorica speech, by the way, though?
Of course.
I'm going to play my own best one later.
I don't agree with that one.
Because... Yeah, I think it's kind of removed. The speech is absolutely fantastic. Still a fantastic speech. Very Doctor-like, very Matt Smith-like. But the whole thing is kind of undone in a typical Moffat way when they want him to be there. You know what I mean? He's not telling the aliens to go away. They're checking that the Doctor is where he's supposed to be.
Oh, so in context, the speech is actually a bit pointless.
The speech doesn't mean anything at all. Because they're not listening to him. They're kind of going, oh, the Doctor's there, that's fine.
We just got
to beam down and lock him in the Pandorica. Not a problem, fine. What's he saying? I'm not really sure. Let's just go away.
That's a scene we should animate.
So it's kind of...
The Daleks listening to the speech, just playing chess or Hungry Hungry Hippos or something.
Doctor in designated location. Cut off feed. Talking again.
What else is on? X-Factor's about to finish.
Bloody how he's rambling.
Starro's got talent.
So I think that's one of the reasons why it's still wonderful to watch that speech, but having watched it many, many times with the knowing what's going to happen in the rest of the story, it's kind of takes a bit of the power away. Because it's almost like all the alien ships are whizzing around him by going, ha-ha, you have no idea what we're about to do.
it's really the ultimate troll on the Doctor.
I really liked the brief moment in the last episode that was on, that I can't remember the name of, when Clara tells him he's got to go to Trenzalore. The way he does that is just...
And he breaks down almost as well.
Oh, it was bloody fantastic. Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, I'm watching some proper acting. This is amazing.
Are you implying that he wasn't proper acting before?
Partially.
I think it's
not him.
No,
generally.
It's just a
but
side,
yeah, it was just like, wow, that looked really good. I did it so well. I just need to sit here and squeeze.
Okay, my all-time favourite Matt Smith was going to be a cheat, and it's every single minute of the Christmas Carol special.
Oh.
Because I love that episode.
Really?
Snowmen one?
No, Christmas Carol.
The one with the big fish.
Oh, yes! No, but we rewatched that one and all roundly decided that it was actually really good.
Yeah,
apart from Catherine Jenkins.
I love that episode.
Anyway, but she's fit, so that's all right.
That is my Wonderful Life Doctor Who episode. The one I can just put on and smile at.
Yeah.
And to counter that, my the Matt Smith moment I don't like is every single second he's in of the Lion, the Doctor, and the Wardrobe.
No, I love that one.
I can't stand
it. Philistine,
it's so dull and so sentimental and so forced. It's Moffat trying to do the Christmas Carol again, but just not succeeding. And I don't care.
I love it.
Sorry. I think it's also because there was that grumpy side of me that said this is the only Doctor Who we're getting for the next 9 months. And I think that was sort of the reason why I'm not that far. I haven't watched it since Christmas Day.
I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
Watch it again.
I'll wait for the box. When the box set comes out, I'll wait when I do the watch. But it's just... Just like, this is all you're going to give us between now and September. And I was like, fuck you, Moffat. Better. I don't care if it's whimsical and your children are watching. I want a freaking bit of drama. There was nothing in that story that gripped me. And, right.
Sounds like there was a lot in there that gripped me.
In a wrong way.
In the wrong way. But that's
not even Bill Bailey.
They did nothing.
They were funny.
It was the Simon Pegg long game thing all over again.
They were better than that. Please tell me our equipment can tell between weapons and
clothing.
I honestly thought they were going to be returning characters. I thought it was a setup for returning characters later on.
Yeah, but Moffat's always trying to get a backdoor pilot through, isn't
he? Yeah.
How many has he done so far?
Oh, that's what I'm going to miss out.
Yes.
That's what I'll miss out of Moffat's tenure then. Strax and Jenny.
Well, no, just because Smith's gone doesn't mean they're going to go, because we had River Song continue.
Yeah.
And hopefully we won't see the end of River Song, because she did mention that she's seen lots of incarnations and she's only actually witnessed two.
Yeah.
Because that's actually my favourite bit of Matt Smith, is the goodbye to River Song. Because how do I say goodbye?
Yeah.
Because the Doctor never says goodbye.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And that was really quite emotional. I actually was a bit choked at that point when I was watching
that
it.
Was
I was very impressed that we were surprised by the fact that this is the river post David Tennant river.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought after that was died, after Science of the Library, I thought that was a very nice little touch that she's kind of being transported.
She's back.
She's coming back. Oh, brilliant. Good. I'm glad.
Because I have to say, the one part of that was when she said to the Doctor, how do you think I'm stood around if Clara's gone? And then she went, spoilers. And I just went, Moffat, no! No! Plot thread, no! No more questions. It's the season five.
I admire your ability to write adequate drama for science fiction, but now you're just going too far!
Timey wimey, wibbly wobbly. No, I'll give him a slap.
Right. Okay.
Well,
I
came round here dangling his pot around. I say no.
Oh, I am Maya Davis.
Davis. Yeah, he brought the series back, didn't he?
Yeah, and he brought his plot.
Go on, Maya Davis.
But if he come round to my gaff and tell me to put on a pair of tight skinny whites.
You're losing it.
Davis, now!
I admire your ability to resurrect ancient science fiction shows in a modern day environment,
but I'm not your skippy
fashion critic! Get back to America where they actually seem to appreciate you!
It's on the podcast, let's just do this for the next 2 hours.
Right, okay.
Right.
Favourite moments, I'm going to throw in the Jammy Dodger moment from the Mark Gatiss Dalek episode.
You remember it?
Mm. No, I can't remember
titles, remember titles.
No.
Victory of the Fatleks.
Yes. I don't know. What is Victory of the Daleks?
Victory of the Fatleks.
Victory of the fucking Fatleks. Sorry.
Yeah. Victory of the Hunchdecks. Hunchlecks. Mm. The Bells, Doctor. The Bells.
Yes. That's true. We haven't seen them in a while.
Probably won't.
Go on,
they were in Asylum.
No. Just wanted to throw that in. Just
yeah, but they were in the background.
They were in the background.
With all the other ones.
Given the fact that they've just spent X number of money to build seven of them. Like,
yeah. they've kind of abandoned that plot thread, haven't they?
Yeah, it was kind of like, we are superior Daleks, we are inferior Daleks, exterminate. back to the government. Oh, look, there's loads of inferior Daleks here. Shit, we better just go around the back and hope they don't notice us. We're just like you. Honest.
Just taller.
And with funny backs. Aren't you new Daleks? No, we are old Daleks.
We've been pimped. The show didn't catch on. Right, okay, Steve, have you got any moments that really stick out at you?
Good or bad?
Good.
Good. Well, I've done the Doctor of River Song.
Oh, yes.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pass.
Okay, worst then. Kick us off with the worst.
Worst. Oh. Like as Mike said, I absolutely didn't like the Lion, the Witch, and the
Doctor, the
Wizard
of the Wardrobe.
Fact that
it's good.
Yeah, it was self-indulgent. Let's examine my own navel. It's all about motherhood, and you know, oh, come off it. It's do something decent with a story.
Maybe it's because it wasn't about a dog.
I don't know.
Maybe if the children were talking dogs, we would have responded more.
Apparently, the new Call of Duty's got a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which apparently is the biggest selling point of the entire game.
Yeah.
Yes. Call of Duty. You can have a dog.
Oh, you can have a dog. Right. Everybody else is talking about the Call of Duty dog, so I might as well just throw it in there.
It's trending.
Yes, it is trending at the moment. What a
wonderful day.
Cool.
Oh, what a wonderful day to run up to the makers of Call of Duty and shout, Fable!
The other thing that annoys me about the Matt Smith era is his title sequence, the original one he had.
Really?
I hated it.
What, with all the electric and everything?
No. What? When they started tweaking it and putting extra things in,
right?
It just looked, before that, it sort of looked like a load of cotton wool that they were flying through. CGI'd cotton wool, admittedly, but it was cotton wool CGI and a crappy sort of blue thing, which, what the hell's that? Give us a vortex. Come on.
We're very different.
Talking about title sequence, so I just want to go back to best moments. The moment when his face turned up in the vortex the first time, and I was like, Phangasm!
Is that it now? Have we now actually done everything from the classic? Everything's come back. We've done the Gallifrey, we've done the Daleks and the Cybermen, we've done
the old logo.
We need the old logo.
The old logo is going to come back after the 50th.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I think it'll come back for the 50th.
Yeah.
I bet they'll tweak it for the 50th.
We'll have something like that, yeah. So that's Susan. Bring back Susan as well. Yeah. Right, okay, any more worsts from people?
Can I do my best?
Oh, you got a best? Have you? I thought you'd done your best.
No, I did the kind of like Pandorica speech.
Oh, okay, do your best. Come on. Come on, because we're running out of time.
All right, sorry. Speech at the end of 11th hour. There we go.
Okay.
There we go, with all the other doctors coming up and him walking through Tennant's face and going, hello, I'm the doctor.
I'd like to walk through Tennant's face.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I'm going to say my worst. Matt Smith thingy is the sonic screwdriver and his obsession with it. I can understand what happened. They said to him in the beginning, Matt, we need to sell this toy. Use it.
I don't get what he's reading. No. There isn't a dial there.
No. Just like, do you think he doesn't? Do you think everyone knows that? And he's just going, yes, doctor, it means that, yeah. he's just making it up and he's going, yes. And he secretly laughs and says, it's nothing on here. But it's just like, I can't remember a time where I haven't seen Matt Smith walking down a corridor with his arm outstretched with the Sonic just wavering it. It just seems to be, he can't walk down a corridor without...
This whole Sonic has been used far too much. I mean, the minute that in the Silurian story, which I can't remember the title of, when it actually is used to disable all the guns, the Sonic screwdriver suddenly makes everyone incapacitated and everyone has to talk. You go... You can't use the sonic screwdriver like that. It's a gadget to open doors, maybe to do some force fields, and
it does whatever the writers want it to do.
Oh, it's not a magic wand.
It is now.
Yes. I mean, I remember in the first series getting annoyed that it reattached barbed wire, and now it's saving planet.
And whose fault was that? Moffat.
The worst
offender for the Sonic was Partners in Crime. When that reporter is tied up in the office to a rope and the Doctor and Donna are running out of the room and she says, what about me? And David Tennant just points his sonic screwdriver at the rope and it undoes itself and she can escape. That
he's vibrating
the
things in
it's the molecules
rope.
Of the rope. No, fuck
Isn't
you,
it?
Davis.
Of course he is.
I'm swearing with a little baby in the room. I feel bad now.
It's okay. She can't understand you.
Yet.
We
Yet.
Say that now.
Yes. She just won't be able to listen to the podcast when she's older.
Yeah.
No. Not until you're 18, baby.
I want to throw into worst moments is the Amy kiss. I didn't really see the point of that.
Is that the whole
That was,
scene
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, they when, come to bed.
Yeah, yes. When he drops her home yeah. before bed, the wedding and well, then
that
she
was,
jumps on it.
That was Moffat's insecurities of the fangirls not taking to Matt Smith over David Tennant, so he had to portray him as sexy. That's one thing I'm not. I hope he doesn't do. If everyone remembers, when Matt Smith was cast, every time Stephen Moffat gave an interview, he said, oh, he's so sexy and virile, and I've got these sexy actors. And he was just so trying to drive in the point home in case... I reckon there was a little bit of paranoia inside him. He goes, I've cast a slightly odd-looking chap. I've lost the female audience.
Because we're all that crap.
Yeah.
And you're shallow.
You're a shallow. Dashing hero, surely. And you so, all love yeah. David Tennant.
yeah, yum, skinny, rat-faced yeah. person.
But... Just yeah, it was, I still reckon it was just Moffat forcing, trying to force on. No, he's still good looking. He's still fanciable women. It's okay. He's a bit odd looking.
Do you need a good looking doctor?
No, never I don't think so. Really. Look at Christopher Eccleston.
None of them have been particularly.
Oh, I'd do Christopher Eccleston.
Well, so would I, because he's Christopher Eccleston. But that's a completely different.
You
wouldn't thing.
Have any choice. You'll just say, "All right."
I just like to point out, this is Steve. I would not do Christopher Eccleston.
If you're listening, Christopher, don't worry.
But I don't think that was a worst him moment. I just thought, Amy, you're getting married tomorrow. What a bitch.
Mm,
yeah.
It didn't really help.
I just thought that was really,
really
awful.
Really.
Especially because Rory is so sweet.
Yeah.
You think, what are you doing?
It wasn't really until the girl who waited that I ever warmed to Amy at all, to be honest with you. That was the only time when I was really kind of thinking. The girl who waited. Old Amy.
Yeah.
That was the first time that I actually went, she was actually
oh,
all right.
Here we go.
Oh, hello.
Apologies.
It's alright.
Right, okay. Worst moments we've got from Jeff is Nightmare in Silver.
Really?
Just Nightmare in Silver, but okay. He said though it's not his fault. Just but we just didn't.
No, it was a very unfocused script, and
yes,
that was the trouble.
I think
it
was
a draft or yeah, it was a it needed an extra draft or two.
Yeah.
I think in comparison to Neil Gaiman's other story,
yes.
It was more of a, right, you need to fit this into the episode, you need to put that into the episode. We've got Warwick Davis, so you need to use him.
Yeah.
You have to do this bit. And there was probably some real original seeds of genius in that story.
Yeah.
But bits weren't tackled properly because there was so much of a shopping list.
I would have preferred if Neil Gaiman had written The Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
That would have been brilliant. I was just about to say worst moment Hyde, but I'm actually thinking of switching it to Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS now.
Which was, oh, Hyde was...
Hyde, I was, yes, because I remember seeing the
Which one's
clip,
Hyde?
The clips
the
of
one
Hyde.
With the burned people,
the
isn't
one
it?
With the... Yeah,
no?
No.
Which
no, was
Hyde?
Was the one
Hyde
in
the
house.
Ghost Hunter.
The
Ghost Hunter.
Oh,
really?
I
really enjoyed
that. I loved
that
we
one.
We saw in the trailer the Doctor in the forest kind of going, I am the Doctor and I am afraid. That was the bit I was waiting for in Hyde, and it...
Didn't
just
happen.
Didn't.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
It's a trailer line. It's a trailer line.
To it. Yeah, it was a trailer line. Exactly.
I love that episode, though.
It just didn't have the resonance.
It's the first episode of Doctor Who since I was 5 that has actually scared me.
Really?
I actually sat there for the first section of it and thought, oh my God, I've watched horror films that are less scary than this. This is really, really good.
Well, if we can segue a bit from Hyde, the overriding theme of Matt Smith's era is Love Saves the Day.
That's Moth kind of thing, isn't it?
Had a fairy tale kind of
Everybody
thing.
Lives.
Which is why.
Power of love, etc.
I think since the start, that's been Moffat's agenda.
Yeah.
It's kind of like fairy tales, good, modern fairy tales. The typical stuff that he does is taking ordinary things and making them scary anyway. But yeah, I think I might have to officially change my worst to Journey to the Centre of Thought. Although that's not a Matt Smith thing, though. Matt Smith's actually pretty good in Journey to the Centre of Thought. It's just everything else that isn't.
Yeah, I think there were also some bits in there that weren't tackled properly, like the person who's really a person and not an android.
Just all three of those characters cannot act. I'm sorry, but they just couldn't.
Yeah.
And casting three black people as pirates, who were kind of like nefarious, was that a little bit dodgy?
Well, they were a family.
You know, they were a family, but they were a crime family. And
they weren't really a crime family, they were just salvagers. It just happened to be the one that was in charge was a little bit dodgy.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I was reading too much into it, but it was all kind of like... And the bit where one of them fell off the ladder, I don't think I've seen anybody overact that and act it as worse as he possibly did.
Journey to the Center of TARDIS is a weird one. It's obviously set up as a budget episode, like the Voyager corridors stuff, or the Generation corridor stuff. But then they didn't have the corridors to begin with. So they had to build them. I mean, I think it made me miss Roundel's Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Yeah. We needed just one little tiny section of CGI corridor, or build a thing out of cardboard or something.
Oh, just go. Yeah, go.
They expect to see the swimming pool as kind of like stopping at the doorway. Oh, there's a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Onwards.
They're in Cardiff. The old set at the Doctor Who Experience is all set up in Cardiff.
Yeah.
You close it down for a couple of hours and do a little bit of filming inside there.
Yeah. That's
just something like just a little nod. I was like,
go in at night.
What?
Yeah. Go in at night. Yeah.
Yeah. Just 2 minutes of them running through that console room.
Yeah.
And Thingy Bob saying, "Oh, what's this? Oh, that's just an old model."
I mean, it's not like the Roundels are some embarrassing bit of architecture. I mean, they served a purpose. They were meant to be the thing that lit the bloody rooms and the corridors, so they were the lighting source. So it's not like they're just there for being there. It was just so bland. I mean, I'm going to say this: I preferred the abandoned hospital from Invasion of Time. That was much more interesting than coffin-shaped corridors and pipes.
It looked like Star Trek, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it did, yeah.
Okay, right. Alison's worst is snogging Jenny when she rescued him in the Crimson... What's it?
Crimson Horror, yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And she just says, honestly, he earned that slap. I think that's a fair enough point.
Fair enough.
So I think we can probably wrap up the worst because we're just getting close to the end now. And we really need to get onto the big subject.
Why? We're really nearly out of time.
We are. Strange.
We have 10 minutes left. 10 minutes before the hour.
So what are people's predictions? Really quickly, what are people's predictions for the next Doctor? I'll just go with Jeff first. This is kind of like what he wants to see. No snogging, more dark and mysterious. And older. Ali... Older, please, not younger. I don't want to be old enough to be the Doctor's mum. Again, I believe. continuing the recent... Oh, I'm going to get so told off next time I see her, aren't I?
Yeah.
Continuing the recent step away from just normal clothes and back to iconic costume. And another annoying catchphrase emphasised in the first few minutes, a la Geronimo and Alonzi and all that kind of stuff.
We've done the costume already, and he's pretty much...
Yeah,
he's pretty much gone from chick geek. Is that the word?
To cheeky.
Chick geek is a word.
Geek chic.
To Victorian adventurer. That's he's done the evolve. He's smuggled in the old Doctor's look. He's actually managed to get us there again.
Yeah. So what do people want from the next Doctor? Just a quick couple of few things.
Older,
definitely older.
Older.
And I want a name this time. I think the show needs a name.
Oh, a real actor?
Yeah.
No,
I think we do now. No.
Personally, I'm saying the opposite. I want an older actor, but I want someone who's kind of under maybe a theatre actor or something like that, but someone who hasn't been a big name actor.
I want someone who you may recognise as he was in the background of that drama or that series. No one who's played a lead, but someone who's always been there as a staple in the background, so it's a familiar face.
Brian Blessed.
No!
Hello! I'm the Doctor!
Doctor!
Just for a minute, staying away from actual actors, what do we want to see within the Doctor's role? Do we want to see the angry Colin Baker Doctor? Do we want to see the fun-loving Tom Baker
Doctor? I want to see a one-legged midget Doctor.
Fair enough.
Just for the sake of it. See, go on. If Doctor Who can physically evolve and do anything, a one-leg midget Doctor. Go on.
I'd like them to leave behind the damage. There are always going to be moments where the Doctor is going to be sad at someone's leaving or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But all this angst, and it's very emo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gallifrey's gone, get over it. The Time Lords are gone, get over it. You've got an old person who has adventures. Let's go back to having adventures, and adventures that make sense without actually huge story arcs that never get explained. Do a story arc, but give it a conclusion at some point. Draw
at the end of the series, everything tied up.
Yes.
Yes.
Or even you can tie it up at any point, but it has to be tied up.
Yeah. and then go on to another one.
It's falling into the classic trap that the X-Files fell into. Of,
yeah.
Oh, we're not going to answer anything.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of answered that, but we can ask five other questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that answer that you got wasn't really very satisfying anyway.
Yeah, and then we changed our mind what the answer actually was.
Yeah. Exactly.
Personally, I want fun standalone stuff like we've been having in the last six episodes.
Okay. Yeah.
Not big, massive, huge story arcs and things like that, but that's more of a show direction, really. But Doctor-wise, I want fun and engaging and enjoying travelling through time and space. Yes,
absolutely.
Carry that on from Matt Smith. And, well, I suppose we did have that kind of break where he's like, no one can remember me and stuff.
Well, I do want to see, though, is when the next Doctor comes and Jenna leaves eventually, no more bloody moping around about she's left me again, I'm on my own. After every single bloody time a companion leaves a Doctor in this new series.
Yeah, can we dump her somewhere on an alien planet this time?
Yeah. I like her.
Really?
Oh, no, she's a damn sight better than that bloody pond woman.
Yeah, she's got no personality, though.
Not
there's nothing to her.
No, she's nice.
She really?
She's nice.
She is nice. That is true.
I have to say, I would take her aboard my TARDIS.
I would take her on board my TARDIS.
Right. Yeah, anyway, so
on board to travel. Take her on board platonically.
That's what they're calling it now.
You know who she reminds me of? Macy.
Yeah. That's probably why
I like her. The whole way through I've been thinking, this is just Macy.
This is just Macy without the shopping and a bit less attitude.
Yeah.
Because Macy's a bit more...
If people know who we're talking about, watch the Plymouth Productions.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're online for free.
If we can go through the next, 6 months until Christmas without anybody in the media whatsoever saying, should the Doctor be a woman?
Too late.
Okay, if we're going to get onto that, let's just get onto that quickly.
Fucking time they do that.
It's so boring, isn't it?
Really annoys me. Every single time.
It's not just that question, though, is it? Are we going to have a woman? Are we going to have a black person or a person of non?
Exactly.
Well, no. To be perfectly honest, I think black's fine. That's not a problem. Or any kind. Oh yeah, that's it. No, I'm the racist one on the podcast.
There we go.
No. Okay. The idea of having someone who isn't Caucasian playing the Doctor, I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely fine.
I said this on Facebook. I don't care.
Yeah.
No. I don't
care. If they're good, then...
If they are a good actor and you write them well, I don't care. I can't get close enough to the microphone. I don't care. You
know, I have a feeling Steve's about to adopt a southern accent.
I actually don't care about anyone's ethnicity. That's fine. Yeah. But from a purely character or story-driven point of view, and I put this on the Facebook post, is the fact that if you go into history, how does a character who is non-Caucasian interact with in historical situations where our own Earth history shows that they were people of non-Caucasian, subjugated, were slaves.
They kind of brushed that under the carpet with Martha, though, didn't they?
No, they didn't. In Human Nature, Family of Blood, the Elizabethans were never too fussed about that.
It was only the Victorian era that it actually became an issue.
Because I mean, talking about changing the subject, there's an episode of Star Trek where Guinan turns up with Mark Twain, and she's in the room interacting with him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and no one bats an eyelid that she's black.
Yeah,
and you think she'd actually be kicked out, no matter what the character's got, money or whatever. She wouldn't be allowed in that room.
Well, they actually made a point of it in Deep Space Nine as well, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh yeah, there's some really good bits in Deep Space Nine.
The holodeck program with Vic Fontaine.
Yeah.
And Ben Sisko doesn't go there for ages, and his girlfriend at the time, I don't think they were married at the time, but he says, why don't you go to Vic's, it's fun. And it's kind of like, because it's 1935 in Las Vegas, and
I would be lynched.
In Las Vegas, a black person could not walk into a bar. And she goes, yeah, but that's not what it's like. And he's kind of like, that's the point. That's why it's a lie. That's why I don't like it, because it's not representing.
But then that would be the Von effect in action then, because you can't buy into a piece of make believe.
Exactly.
If something is so fundamentally wrong,
absolutely.
Like if you put the toast in, it wouldn't happen that quickly.
Yeah.
That's what breaks you out of your moment of suspension.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, no, we're all good.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah, don't worry. Right. Okay. Just to say this quickly, William Hill are given odds of 5-1 that the next Doctor's a woman.
Oh fuck off.
5-1
That's what? Not bad, oh. Is it?
That's it's good odds.
Right. Do they drop if Helen Mirren dies?
The thing is, you put it on that low, you get lots of people going, oh yeah, I'll have a flutter on that, and it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
So it's just rigged odds, really, isn't it?
It's brought up every single
Don't
time,
sue me, William Hill.
Can I just recommend, there's a fan film series that's on YouTube with a female doctor that I suggest people go watch, because it's actually quite
Arabella
good.
Weir's actually played a female doctor as well, hasn't she? In the audios.
But there's a series of four. Wrath of Equals, I think, the first one. Ryan K. Johnson Films, Seattle Film Productions.
Yeah.
They're made for. They're really good. And if you really want a female doctor, I've said this before, you've got to finish it with the line, she's being insulted by the bad guy, and he says, weak-willed woman. And in the end of the first story, she traps the villain and she goes, I may just be a woman, but I'm still the Doctor.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I think this is why it's
no.
kind of like
it works. It's
really
a nice video.
It, really, because, I mean, from the point of view of the media looking at it, they only know about the TV series.
Mm.
Whereas if you're a hardcore fan or if you've been following it for a while, you've followed the big finish, you've followed all the novels, you've followed all the new novels, and they've been virtually everywhere. Now, and we've had female doctors quite a few times in the kind of like what if scenarios and things like that, so it's not anything new to us, but to them it's kind of like, oh, what if there's a female doctor? We've been there, we've done that.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
just
Arabella,
don't know about it.
Arabella Weir is fine in the big finish,
exactly.
But it's written as a comedy though, it's not written as a drama.
Oh, yeah, she's her doctor is completely different to the doctor,
absolutely. But all the Unbound series are,
I think, most of the Unbound ones do keep a strong element of the doctor. Mm. Within them, they're just kind of like, what would have happened if the Doctor had been affected this way?
Mm.
When you look at the Doctor as a woman one, it's kind of like, oh yeah, well, she's a woman, so she'd get a job in a supermarket.
Absolutely,
and she wouldn't really care and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually really sexist, I think. She does a really good job.
Yeah.
She's really good, but it is kind of sexist because it's the only Doctor one where it's kind of like, oh yeah, just because her
she's
chromosomes
a woman,
change,
like, yeah.
her entire lifestyle's going to be different.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah. Moffat's already written her as a woman as well, though.
Yeah.
Joanna Lovely.
Oh, and she did well.
And she did very well, yes. I think I could see the on
her sonic screwdriver had three settings.
Yes, indeed.
Okay,
so
right.
She's Joanna Lovely in a prime, yes.
That's
yes.
the thing.
Yes, I would have.
We're kind of nearly done. The only thing we haven't tackled so far is who's going to be the next Doctor. Now, a lot of people are going to be talking this, so I think we could probably wrap
Skip
up
it.
Now and not worry about it. Or we can do a shorter podcast or something to be released later on where we can talk about some of the names of the bets that have been coming up.
I think,
something.
Yeah, when we start getting a few names in and when the rumours start.
Oh, there's lots of names so far.
There's lots of names
oh,
already.
3-1 odds.
And there's lots
on, on William Hill. Yes.
William Hill's not the actor, by the way.
I was
going to
say, yes.
The guy's already been cast.
No,
we're not going into that.
Right now,
3 months.
Who's the top? Who's the top
cast? I've never heard of him.
Some guy called Ben Daniels.
There you go. Thank you.
Whom is that?
I don't know.
Who is Ben Daniels? Anyone know?
Some guy in Homeland, isn't he? He was in Homeland.
Yeah. Was he in Homeland?
Okay. Yeah.
And he's ginger.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big thing, though. Everyone's
going
to go because of the throwaway line.
Have I Got News For You?
Not
guest host. There's a ginger bloke who hosts it sometimes. That's him.
Oh, okay.
His big claim to fame is he got his arse out in one episode, apparently.
Well, that tends to get you the role of the Doctor.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Sky Bet have got him at 5-2. What else we got? So that's kind of the.
We're out of time. We're wrapped up.
We'll discuss amongst ourselves whether we're going to do another short one or something about the Doctors. But I think we've really talked for an hour about Matt Smith leaving.
Matt Smith.
If you can say one thing about this podcast,
I'm still in denial.
We have talked for an hour about Matt Smith leaving.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
That has happened, yes.
That has happened, yes.
That's true.
I believe we're all better people for it.
Hooray!
All right, guys.
I still don't believe it. Sorry, I'm calling it now.
Oh, and also, we need to say hello to all the new listeners, or at least all the new people who've liked us on Facebook.
Yes.
Hello,
everyone.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah,
listen to our old stuff. It's awesome.
Well, that's a bit big-headed of you, isn't it, really, Ian?
Well, it is. Come on. We have to big it up. We're not going to say, don't listen to the old stuff. It's really rubbish.
No.
There was a couple of duff ones that we've done.
But there's always going to be. We put out quite a few hours of entertainment now,
exactly.
For free.
I know. You can't expect to be on all the time. What do you want, blood? I mean, fucking hell, this is free, for fuck's sake.
And we don't want money from you. All we want you to do is share with your friends. Point us, like us on Facebook. Get
fake
people.
Book.
Fake book.
Yeah.
And
Twitter.
Twitter. fake book and sweater.
There you go.
That's a t-shirt waiting to happen.
Well, like me on my fiend space.
You turd.
Fiend space.
Yes, please. Please visit Plymouth Hoop Productions.
Yay.
Please check out all of our, or all of your. Even I should say, I'm not in that many.
Some of you are.
Well, yeah, I'm not in that many.
Well,
anyway,
the
ones that haven't been released yet. Check them out. They're really, really good. Anything else? Anybody else to plug? Go to Armadacon.
Oh yes, Armadacon. Oh, and there's going to be big news coming from Armadacon soon.
Yes, please go to Armadacon. And if you happen to be in the West Country and you fancy some Morris dancers coming around to your pub, please go to Catchpole Morris.
Just going
to
plug everything now,
just
aren't you?
Plug everything.
I'm just plugging everything. Yeah, might as well.
All right.
Okay.
Really
so
good. Final word. And there's another podcast out there as now. Plymouth Geek Collective are making a podcast which I am on as well. So I better plug that, really, hadn't I?
Yeah.
So if you search for the Plymouth Geek Collective,
are you cheating on me?
No. I'm just making the most out of my recording equipment.
I'm sitting in Lisgard. Oh, shit. No one knows where I live now.
Yeah, sorry, no one knows where Lisgard is.
No,
so
no,
there
no.
We go.
Yes, they did. They watched that Mary Porter thing on telly.
Oh, no one watched that.
I did.
Have you seen what they've built in the shop? Well, they've built what they've built in the street where the old spa or whatever it is used to be.
Go on.
So they've got a big shop which used to have a spa or something in it.
Yes.
And they've made it into a little market. And all they've done is put pasting tables up. And people with brand new
shops. The Market.
Yeah.
Yes.
And people just go in and then start up their stalls by just putting something over.
Yes, it's a Panier Market. We haven't got a Panier Market. We have now.
Did Will I
it's
Am?
It's pasting
run
tables.
Will I Am?
Yeah. Did he run through
no,
Lisgard?
No, he didn't run through Lisgard.
No, not that I know of.
No. We didn't get Will I Am. He was further up country.
Was he? No, who did we have? We had someone famous in come through. No, he was in Truro, wasn't he? Will I Am? No.
There was a torch runner who ran through. And yeah. He went outside.
We had one celebrity down here, so I'm saying.
It went directly past my front door. You guys went outside. I stayed inside. I went, fuck it. It's a fucking match.
Yeah, we stood there. And
we stood there for ages, and the policemen going past were getting bigger cheers because it took so long for the torch to come. And every 5 minutes or so, like, a policeman on a motorcycle would go past. And everyone was going, yay, by the end. It was like, sod it, we're here, we're going to cheer anything. Ambulances went past, just random people walking up the road, yay! All got a big clap. And then the torch came through and everyone kind of went, yeah, right, you were late. You know? Where have you been?
You should just organise a massive...
Yes.
I really did want to go up to him and ask for a light, to be honest.
Just get tackled, rugby tackled by a load of policemen.
Pretty much.
All right, guys, I think we're wrapped up now, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
Yay!
Bye!
Bye! Bye-bye, everybody.
Yes, Chris? If people who enjoyed that wanted to get hold of us, what would the website address be?
Well, the website address would be www.onemanandhistardis.podomatic.com.
And what if they went to email us?
Well, we've got that covered as well, my friend. All they have to do is chuck a little email to omahtpodcast@gmail.com.
And if they're on Facebook, would they be able to go to a page there?
I think we're on Facebook as well, yes. You just search for One Man and His TARDIS, should be able to find it.
And if they were on Twitter, would there be a hashtag for us?
I think you'll find there's a hashtag OMAHT.
Well, that's awfully clever, isn't it?
It's awfully clever, isn't it? There are so many different ways that our lovely, lovely listeners can get in contact with us.
But we're not giving out the postal address.
No, we're not.
No, because we don't like you that much.